بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. غفر الله لنا ولشيخنا وللمستمعين والمسلمين. يقول الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى في رسالته العقيدة الواسطية: ويتبرؤون من طريقة الروافض الذين يبغضون الصحابة ويسبونهم، وطريقة النواصب الذين يؤذون أهل البيت بقول أو عمل، ويمسكون عما شجر بين الصحابة ويقولون إن هذه الآثار المروية في مساويهم منها ما هو كذب ومنها ما قد زيد فيه ونقص وغير عن وجهه، والصحيح منه هم فيه معذورون، إما مجتهدون مصيبون وإما مجتهدون مخطئون، وهم مع ذلك لا يعتقدون أن كل واحد من الصحابة معصوم عن كبائر الإثم وصغائره، بل يجيز عليهم الذنوب في الجملة، ولهم من السوابق والفضائل ما يوجد مغفرة ما يصدر منهم إن صدر، حتى إنهم يغفر لهم من السيئات ما لا يغفر لمن بعدهم، لأن لهم من الحسنات التي تمحو السيئات ما ليس لمن بعدهم. وقد ثبت بقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنهم خير القرون، وأن المد من أحدهم إذا تصدق به كان أفضل من جبل أهد ذهبا ممن بعدهم. ثم إذا كان قد صدر من أحدهم ذنب فيكون قد تاب منه أو أتى بحسنات تمهو أو غفر له بفضل سابقته أو شفاعة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي هم أحق الناس بشفاعته، أو ابتلي ببلاء في الدنيا كفر به عنه. فإذا كان هذا في الذنوب المحققة، فكيف بالأمور التي كانوا فيها مجتهدين؟ إن أصابوا فلهم أجران، وإن أقطعوا فلهم أجر واحد، والخطأ مغفور. ثم إن القدر الذي ينكر من فعل بعضهم قليل نزر مغفور في جنب فضائل القوم ومحاسنهم من الإيمان بالله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، والجهاد في سبيله، والهجرة والنصرة، والعلم النافع والعمل الصالح. ومن نظر في سيرة القوم بعلم وبصيرة، وما من الله عليهم به من الفضائل، علم يقينا أنهم خير الخلق بعد الأنبياء، لا يكاد ولا يكون مثلهم، وأنهم الصفوة من القرون هذه الأمة التي هي خير الأمم وأقرمها على الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله وخليله ورسوله، أرسله رحمة للعالمين فبلغ الرسالة وعد الأمانة ونصح للأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده صلوات الله وسلامه عليه، ورضوانه جل وعلا على صحابة محمد الذين آمنوا به وآزروه، هاجروا معه وإليه، جاهدوا معه وبعده، حملوا راية هذه الملة حتى بلغوا بها الآفاق، فرضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم. ونسأل الله جل وعلا أن يجعلنا من محبيهم الصادقين في ذلك، الحريصين على الاقتداء بهم. يقول الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمة الله عليه عما عليه أهل السنة، والمقصود بأهل السنة من كان متبعا للصحابة رضي الله عنهم، متبعا لمن اتبعهم، حريصا على الاعتماد على القرآن والسنة النبوية، وما أجمع عليه الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين. يقول عن هؤلاء الذين هم أهل السنة يتبرؤون من طريقة الروافض الذين يبغضون الصحابة. الرافضة هؤلاء هم أهل المذهب الاثني عشري. التشيع هو الميل لنصرة آل البيت، يشمل محبيهم ويشمل ما يكون أكثر تشددا في هذا الأمر كالزيدية. وأما على المتنقصون للصحابة المكفرون لأفضلهم كأبي بكر وعمر وعثمان، فهؤلاء هم الطائفة الاثني عشرية الرافضة. هؤلاء لا يفتؤون، يسبون الصحابة ويسمون أبا بكر الصديق وعمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنهما الجبت والطاغوت إلى غير ذلك من الظلم والعدوان والفحش والبهتان وما يزعمون أنه إذا خرج إمامهم المنتظر يحيى له أبو بكر وعمر ويصلبهم حسب دعوى هؤلاء. هذا المنهج الذي عليه هؤلاء الرافضة يتبرأ أهل السنة منه ويعوذون بالله جل وعلا من اعتقاده وشر من يعتقده. الله لما ذكر قال في القرآن الكريم والذين جاءوا يعني من بعد الصحابة والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا. هذه هي صفة أهل السنة يترضون عن الصحابة. بالنسبة للصحابة تسميتهم رافضة، سموا رافضة لأنهم قالوا لزيد بن علي بن الحسين الذي تدعي الزيدية أنهم على منهج له، قالوا له ماذا تقول أبي بكر وعمر؟ فتبرعوا منهما، قال لا أتولاهما وأتبرأ ممن يتبرأ منهم. فقالوا له إذن نحن نرفضك، يعني لا نكون أنصارا لك. علي بن الحسين هذا جده الحسين، وتعرفون ماذا يقولون، يقول الشيعة في أيام عاشوراء التي ستأتي بعد فترة غير طويلة، يا حسين يا حسين، ينادون الحسين لبيك يا حسين لبيك يا حسين. فلما قالوا نرفضك سموا رافضة. مذهبهم الذي كتبهم مليئة منه يرون أن عامة أهل السنة من أحناف ومالكية وشافعية وحنابلة ومن يسمون أيضا أهل الحديث، يرون أن هؤلاء العامة يعني هم الخاصة. ويقولون في ما لديهم إذا شككت في أمر فانظر ما عليه العامة وخالفهم، يعني انظر ما عليه أهل السنة والجماعة وخالفهم حتى تكون على الهدى. فيقول شيخ الإسلام إن أهل السنة يتبرؤون من طريقة الرافضة. هناك رافضة هؤلاء هم الاثني عشرية، هناك طائفة تدعي أنها توالي آل البيت، وهؤلاء هم الباطنية الذين نشأت الدولة الفاطمية في مصر على منهجها يزعمون الدين له ظاهر وباطن. ويقول العلماء عن الباطنية هؤلاء ظاهرهم الرفض، يعني يتظاهرون بأنهم رافضة، وباطنهم الكفر المحض. أهل السنة يتبرؤون من هؤلاء جميعا، يتبرؤون من الذين يرفضون الصحابة. مما يقوله وأظن سبق أن وزعنا عليكم نسخة من كتاب المجموع في عقيدة الرعب في ما عليها الرافضة، حسن الله الواحد يقرأ هذا الكتاب الذي يحسن القراءة العربية فهو يستفيد، يجد أشياء كثيرة فيه ما يسمون الصفويين، هم من الرافضة. الصفويون هؤلاء كانوا في القرن التاسع الهجري، وكان المذهب الشافعي منتشرا في خراسان وبلاد فارس كلها. فقام الصفويون ودعوا الناس إلى اعتناق المذهب الرافضي، والذي لا يستجيب كان الشاه إسماعيل ظالم باطش جريء، كان يأمر الناس بأن يلعنوا أبا بكر وعمر وعثمان وسائر الصحابة، والذي يرفض يقتلوه. ثم صار يدعو الناس للدخول في المذهب الاثني عشري، والذي يرفض يقتلوا. فقتل يقال من إيران من بلاد فارس أكثر من 1,000,000 نفر في عهد الشاه الخبيث هذا اللي هو الشاه إسماعيل. يقول شيخ الإسلام: وطريقة النواصب، النواصب الذين يكرهون آل البيت، يعني بدون سبب يؤذون آل البيت بأقوال أو بعمل. أهل السنة لا، يعملون بسنة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ويتبرؤون من هذه الأعمال السيئة. والاثني عشرية كل من لا يتفق معهم يقول عنه أنه ناصبي، وفي حقيقة أمرهم يرون أنه كافر، يرون أن النواصب كفار، لكن لأنهم يتدينون بالتقية، يعني بإظهار ما لا يعتقدونه واعتقاد ما لا يظهرونه، يعني طريقة المنافقين يتظاهرون بالأخوة الإسلامية، ثم هم يرون أن الأئمة يشرعون لهم، ولذلك يأتون بما لم يشرعه الله. قال عن أهل السنة: يمسكون عما شجر بين الصحابة. أهل السنة لا يدخلون في الخلافات التي تكون بين أهل السنة الصحابة، كالذي حصل بين علي ومعاوية رضي الله عنهما، وما طرأ بعد ذلك من سوء أهل السنة. ويقول كما قال صاحب قصيدة في العقيدة، يقول: ونسكت عن حرب الصحابة، فالذي جرى بينهم كان اجتهادا مجردا. فيقول شيخ الإسلام أن هذه الآثار المنقولة، يعني إذا أردت أن تنظر بالآثار المخبورة ارجع إلى كتب العلم النقي، ارجع مثلا إلى كتاب مصنف ابن أبي شيبة أو مصنف عبد الرزاق، أو لكنهم أكبر من أحمد، أو مصنف مسند الإمام أحمد بن حنبل، وهذه طبقة. يرجع الواحد إلى كتب علماء الحديث حقيقة. يقول: هذه الآثار المروية فيها ذم لبعضهم، هذه إما أنها كذب وهو الأغلب، أو أن الناقل لها ما كان بصيرا فاهما يدخل عليه ما ليس منها، أو يزيد أو ينقص، وإذا وجد صحيح شيء صحيح فالصحابة معذورون. النبي شهد لهم شهد قال خير الناس بعد الأنبياء يعني الرسل القرن الذين بعثوا فيه، منهم القرن الناس الذي بعث النبي فيه وإلى أن مات وهم أحياء تبعوه، هؤلاء أفضل الناس بعد الأنبياء والرسل، يعني أفضل من أصحاب موسى ومن قبله، لأن أصحاب محمد هم أفضل الناس. قال خير الناس، والحديث في الصحيح خير الناس القرن الذين بعثت فيهم، قال ثم الذين يلونهم، وهؤلاء تلامذة الصحابة، قال ثم الذين يلونهم. يقول حديث من حديث عمران بن الحصين رضي الله عنه وعن أبيه، ومن حديث عبد الله بن مسعود، عمران بن الحصين يقول لا أدري هل عد بعد قرنه قرنين أو ثلاثة النبي، وأما عبد الله بن مسعود فإنما يذكر قرنين الصحابة والقرن الذي يليهم والقرن الذي يلي الذي يليهم، قال ثم إلى آخر، ثم ذكر عيوبا تحدث. يقول معذورون وإما مجتهدون مصيبون أو مخطئون. النبي يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا اجتهد الحاكم يعني يريد يطلب الحق وبذل وسعه وقدرته إن أصاب فله أجران، وإن اجتهد ولكن لم يصب فله أجر واحد. إذا خلصت النية واجتهد الواحد في تطلب الحق إن أصاب الحق صار له الأجر مرتين، وإن لم يصب صار له أجر على اجتهاده. يقول وهم مع ذلك لا يعتقدون أن كل واحد من الصحابة معصوم. يقول أهل السنة ما يعتقدون أن كل واحد من الصحابة إذا قال قولا فهو حق لا مجال فيه، لا، الصحابة اختلفوا. عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه لما قال أبو موسى استأذن ثلاث مرات فلا أذن وهو انصرف، فقال النبي ألم مع استئذان عبد الله بن قيس؟ قال بلى، استدعي، قال إني استأذنت ثلاث، والنبي يقول إذا استأذن أحدكم ثلاثا فلم يؤذن له فلينصرف. قال عمر شاهدك على ما تقول. عمر ما كذبه لكن أراد أن لا يتجرأ أحد فيدعي مثل هذا، فشهد له أبو سعيد الخدري من الأنصار أن النبي قال إذا استأذن أحدكم ثلاثا فلم يؤذن له فلينصرف. قصدي هذا مثال، يعني أنه قد يكون أنه صحيح أو قد يكون ما فهم الناقل قال بل يجوز عليهم الذنوب، يعني ليس معصوم، العصمة للأنبياء فقط، يعني كل إنسان ما يخطئ وإن أخطأ ما أقره الوحي، جاء الوحي يخبره بأنه لم يصد، هؤلاء الأنبياء. أما الصحابة لكنهم لا يجتمعون على خطأ. يقول هم مع ذلك لا يعتقدون أن كل واحد من الصحابة أهل السنة معصوم عن كبائر الإثم والصغائر، بل يجوز عليهم من الذنوب في الجملة، لكن لهم من السوابق الصحبة. النبي قال والحديث الصحيح لو أنفق أحدكم مثل أحد، مثل الجبل ذهب جبل أحد اللي عند المدينة، ما بلغ النفقة العظيمة بالذهب مدة مثلا طعام أو نصف المد، المد يعني عمل شرف الصحبة والإيمان بالله وبرسوله ميزهم على من جاء من بعضهم. يقول لهم من السوابق الفضائل ما يوجب المغفرة، مغفرة ما يصدر منهم إن صدق، حتى إنه يغفر لهم من السيئات ما لا يغفر لمن بعدهم. الصحبة لا حقها النبي قال: هل أنتم تاركوا لأصحابي؟ يعني لا يصح لأحد أن يحول في أمر الصحابة. يقول: ولهم من السابق الفضائل ما يجب مغفرة ما يصدر منه إن صدق، حتى إنه يغفر لهم من السيئات ما لا يغفر لمن بعدهم، لأن لهم من الحسنات التي تمحو السيئات. الله يقول: إن الحسنات لا خلص، الحسنات إذا كثرت مسحت السيئة، وربما انقلبت السيئة وصارت حسنة. وقد ثبت بقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنهم خير القرون، حديث من حديث عمران بن حصين رضي الله عنه وعن أبيه وعبد الله بن مسعود، والحديث في الصحيحين. ثم إذا كان قد صدر من أحدهم دم فيكون قد تاب منه أو تاب منه أو أتى بحسنات تمحو، لا شك أن الصحابة لهم إقبال على الخير ما ليس لغيرهم. يقول: أو غفر له بفضل سابقته أو بشفاعة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم الذين هم أحق الناس بشفاعته، أو ابتلي ببلاء في الدنيا كفر به عنه. لأن الإنسان قد تصيبه مصيبة يظنها هو أنها ضرر، لكنها في حقيقة الأمر خير وصلاح، ترفع منزلته عند الله، تكفر خطايا إلى غير ذلك. يقول أنهم كانوا مجتهدين، النبي ذكر صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: إذا اجتهد الحاكم إلى آخره إن أصابوا لهم أجر الله. قال: ثم إن الخدر الذي ينكر من فعل بعضهم قليل نزر مغفور. مكاتب في النسخ أصف المغمور، وهذا هو الصحيح، صحيح أنه مغمور، يعني أن الحسنات الكثيرة غطت عليه حتى ما صار له أثر، ومع ذلك تصبح مغفور. من في جنب فضائل القوم ومحاسنهم من الإيمان بالله ورسوله والجهاد في سبيل الله، النبي أخبر عن فضل الجهاد وعظيم قدره أن في الجنة 100 درجة، ما بين كل درجة وأخرى أبعد مما بين السماء والأرض. هذه للمجاهدين في سبيل الله. رجل لما ذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن من شهد أن لا إله إلا الله وعد الفرائض 5 صلوات 5 إلى آخر ولم يخطئ دخل الجنة، فقال واحد عند النبي: بخم بخم، يعني هذا أمر جميل؟ قال: يعجب. قال: نعم. قال: إن في الجنة 100 درجة، ما بين كل درجة وأخرى مثل ما بين السماء والأرض، يعني هذه فوق هذه ما فوق هذه، أعدها الله للمجاهدين في سبيل الله. الجهاد في سبيل الله قدره به ينتصر الإسلام وينتصر، فالله المستعان. يقول: الهجرة، النبي ذكر لا يستوي من أنفق من قبل الهجرة وقاتل كالذي ينفق من بعد ذلك، الهجرة لها فضل عظيم. أهل بيعة الرضوان 300 وزيادة، أنزل الله: لقد رضي الله عن الذين يبيعونك تحت الشجرة، والذين يرضى الله عنهم ما يسخر. وعثمان من الذين رضي الله عنهم، والرافضة يتنقصون عثمان وكل من يموت له بصلة. يقول: ومن نظر في سيرة القوم بعلم وبصيرة وما من الله عليهم به من الفضائل، الجهاد ونشر الدين وتعليم الناس ونصرة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى غير ذلك، علم يقينا أنهم خير الخلق بعد الأنبياء، شهد لهم أصدق الخلق بقول: خير الناس القرن الذين بعثت فيهم، لا كان ولا يكون مثلهم وأنهم الصفوة من قرون هذه الأمة لا شك، التي هي خير الأمم وأكرمها على الله. هذا مجمل. أيامنا هذه أيام مظلمة، الفتن التي في الشام وفي العراق، وتولي الرافضة في العراق الحكم هذه المدة، وقتل من قتل من أهل السنة في العراق، وطرد من طرد، وهجر من هجر، كل هذه من الفتن. وهؤلاء يطبقون الطريقة الصفوية، وسموا الصفويون، سموا الصفويون لأنهم أتباع الشاه إسماعيل الصفوي، الذي صار أول دولة تكون للمذهب الجعفري الاثني عشري في الوجود دولة الصفويين في إيران. في السابق علماء إيران عامتهم من الشافعية، يمكن التي قرب السواحل العربية خليج قد يكون فيهم ناس مالكية، أو في الشمال يكون فيهم أحناف، لكن المذهب الرافضي ما انتشر قوة وصار النفوذ إلا في عهد الصفويين، وكان يقتل بدون روية إسماعيل، وظنوا أنه لا يغلب، لكن حصل له أن غلبته الدولة التركية بعد القرن التاسع الهجري، فالله المستعان. هذه الفترة الآن الرافضة يقاتلون مع بشار الأسد، الرافضة في العراق لهم نفوذ بالغ، المالكي هو رئيس الدولة، ولما راح المالك جاء حتى وضع رافضين ثاني، قد لا يكون مثله لكنه رافض. ثورة الحوثيين اللي في اليمن، هؤلاء على المذهب الاثني عشري كانوا يذهبون بعد ثورة الخميني، صاروا يذهبون إلى هناك، فنسأل الله أن يخفينا شرهم ويحد من نفوذهم وينصر الحق وأهله بمنه جل وعلا وكرمه.
The Sheikh Hafidhullah Allah Ta'ala began by praising Allah and bearing witness to His oneness, and we seek refuge in Allah Azza wa Jal from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our deeds. Allah is alone and He has no partners, and to Him is the dominion, and to Him belongs the praise. And may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the one who gave the message and fulfilled the trust and was sincere for the Ummah. And may Allah be pleased with the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, those who believed in him and fought with him and fought after him, and who carried the flag of Islam. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla make us from amongst those who are sincere in our love of the companions and those who are diligent in following their way. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned in Al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyah that the people of the Sunnah, they are free from the way of the Rawafid, those who hate the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they curse them. And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah ta'ala. If you have questions, you can give them to the brother. And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah ta'ala that the way of Ahlul Sunnah, what is meant by Ahlul Sunnah, they are the followers of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which the companions were upon. So the individuals who are diligent in following the way of the companions and using as their reference the Quran and the Sunnah and that which the companions agreed upon, these are the people of the Sunnah, Ahlul Sunnah. So Ahl al-Sunnah, they are free from the way of the Rawafid. And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala went on to explain the Rawafid. They are the followers of the 12 groups or the 12 Ithna Ashariya. They call them the Twelvers or the likes. They are the Shia. And the Shaykh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala, this term Shia can be used to, it is used to describe individuals that lean toward or having favoritism for the companion or Afwan, having favoritism for the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, having more favoritism toward the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are also described as being Shia. Then he mentioned the Zaydiya, and they are the individuals, the followers of Zayd. Then he mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala, that the group or this 12, you know, the madhab of the Twelvers, these individuals, they curse the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and specifically Abu Bakr and Umar, and they call them as false deities, and they call them, and verily they speak ill of them, and they do so with evil and oppression, and they even have the belief that when their leader or their imam, when he's going, or the imam that they're waiting for him to appear, when he comes, he's going to bring life, or life would be brought to Abu Bakr and Umar, and their imam would crucify them. He would place them, he would kill them, assassinate them, and crucify them. So this is from their madhab and the way of Ahlul Sunnah. We free ourselves from them, or Afwan, Ahlul Sunnah, they free themselves from these beliefs, and they seek refuge in Allah Azza wa Jal from the evil of this group. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the way of the Ahlul Sunnah. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Shaykh mentioned the verse of the Quran that the people that come after the companions, they say, "Oh Allah, forgive us and those who have preceded us in faith." So the way of the people of the Sunnah is that they seek forgiveness for the companions and they speak good of them, not the way of this the Rawafid who cursed the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the Shaykh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala, the reason why they are called Rawafid or those who reject is because they were in the company of Zayd bin Ali bin Hussein. They were in the company of Zayd bin Ali bin Hussein, the great grandson of Ali bin Abi Talib. And they said, they approached Zayd bin Ali bin Hussein, they approached him and they said to him, "What do you think, or what is your opinion of Abu Bakr and Umar? What is your opinion of Abu Bakr and Umar? Do you reject them?" And he said, "No, I do not reject them, but I accept them and I hold them, you know, to be dear." So when he responded with this response, they said, "We reject you." They said, "We reject you." So because of that, they were called Ar-Rawafid or Ar-Rafida, because of their rejection of the great grandson of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he mentioned that Zayd bin Ali bin Hussein, his grandfather was Al-Hussein. And we know that which took place, or we know that which these Rawafid, they say about Al-Hussein during the days of Ashura. During the days of Ashura, which is going to come soon, we will enter into the days of Ashura, which is in the month of Muharram. They call out to Al-Hussein. They said, "We're answering your call, Al-Hussein. We answer your call, Al-Hussein." So they do this, the Rawafid, they do this during the days of Ashura, which we are soon approaching. Then the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala went on to mention also from their beliefs is that they hold Ahlul Sunnah to be the general people, Ahlul Sunnah from amongst the Hanafiyyah, from amongst the Malikiyyah, from amongst the Shafi'iyyah, from amongst the Hanabila. They hold them to be the general people. And they, the Shia, they hold themselves to be the specific people. So for example, if an affair arises and they want to know what opinion they should hold or what action they should perform, they say, "What do the general people say. And whatever it is mentioned, yani the general people, Ahlul Sunnah, whatever is mentioned that the people of the Sunnah follow, they say do the opposite. They automatically do the opposite because they do not follow the way of Ahlul Sunnah. So the people of the Sunnah, they free themselves from the path of the Rawafid, the Shia, Al-Ithnay, Al-Ashariya, they free themselves from their way. And likewise, the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, there is also a group called Al-Batiniyya, that which is hidden. And these Batiniyya, they were brought about by the Dawla Al-Fatimiyya, the Fatimiyya ruling in the area of Egypt. And they say the religion has that which is hidden and that which is apparent. They say that the religion is broken into that which is apparent and that which is apparent. And the scholars, they describe these individuals. They say that that which is apparent from these individuals is that they reject, and that which is hidden from these individuals is that they are pure disbelievers. So the scholars of the Sunnah, they say these individuals claim that which is apparent is that they oppose, but that which is hidden is that they are pure disbelievers. Then the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that last year, or some time ago, we distributed a book about this group, Al-Ithnay Al-Ashariya, and in the lesson he distributed the book, and it was in Arabic, and he said you should read that book because in that book you would come across many beneficial knowledge. And then the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, Al-Safawiyyun, he mentioned another group that are similar to the Shia. And he mentioned that they came in the ninth century. And he mentioned in the era of Khorasan, the methodology that was mostly spread in the era of Khorasan was the Shafi'i methodology. But then these individuals who are also Shia, As-Safawiyyun, these individuals came and they began to call the people to their methodology. And they began to order the people to curse Abu Bakr and Umar. In the area of Khorasan, they began to order the people to curse Abu Bakr and Umar, and if the individuals rejected it, they would kill them. And this individual who was responsible for them was Shah Ismail. He was the leader of this group, and so much so that during his rulership, Shah Ismail, during his rulership, over 1 million people from that area of Khorasan, they were slaughtered. They were slaughtered and killed because they would not follow the way of the Rafida. And then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala went on to say, وَتَرِيكَةَ النَّوَاصِبَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ بِقَوْلٍ أَوْ عَمَلٍ. And the way of Ahlul Sunnah is that they free themselves of the way of the Nawasib, those who curse or those who seek to harm the family of the Prophet ﷺ by statements and actions. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that Ahlul Sunnah are free from the way of the Nawasib, those who curse the family of the Prophet ﷺ. And actually, he mentioned that the Rawafid, the Shia, they consider anyone who loved the companions as Nawasib. The Shia, they consider anyone who loved the companions of the Prophet ﷺ as Nawasib. But the true methodology of the Nawasib is that they curse the family of the Prophet ﷺ with their statements and with their actions. And likewise, he mentioned that they also implement something called At-Taqiyya. And At-Taqiyya is that they show a belief, but they hide the opposite of that belief. That they show that they have a particular belief, but they conceal the opposite of that belief. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, this is actually the way of the munafiqun. This is actually the way of the hypocrites. The hypocrites, they show that they believe, but they conceal their disbelief. And because of that, or the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, another characteristic of the Shia is that their imams, their scholars, they have the ability, they believe, that they have the ability to bring about a different legislation. They have the ability to bring about a different legislation. And because of that, they legislate that which is in opposition to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَيُمْسِكُونَ عَمَّ شَجَرَ بَيْنَ الصَّحَابَ, that the way of Ahl Sunnah is that they are silent about that which took place amongst that which took place of discord amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Shaykh mentioned, for example, that which took place of disagreements between Ali ibn Abi Talib and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. A disagreement took place between them. A major disagreement took place between them. So the way of Ahlus Sunnah is that we are silent about the disagreements which took place amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we know that they did not intend to dispute with one another. And he mentioned lines of poetry that an individual mentioned about being silent and not indulging in the disagreements that took place amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the narrations that are reported about the disagreement and the disputes that took place amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many of these narrations are either untrue, they are lies, and they are fabricated, or they are added, things are added to them, or things are removed from them, and they're distorted. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah ta'ala, if you want to know the history of the companions, you should refer to authentic books. You should refer to, for example, the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba. You should refer to the Sunnaf of Abdul Razak Sun'ani. You should refer to the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. You should refer to this generation of scholars of Hadith. These were scholars that were, their books are authentic and the likes of that. You should not refer to books that are not proven to be authentic. Then the Shaykh said that most of the narrations that are reported about the disputes that took place amongst the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, most of it is lies and it is fabricated. Or some of it is narrated by individuals that did not want to lie, but they did not have understanding, so they added to it, or they took away from the narration. So the narrations are not correct. And then the Shaykh mentioned, or Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, and that which is authentic, it is very minute, and if it is, he said that which is authentic is very minute, and they are excused. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are excused. Because they were mujtahidun, they were individuals that were seeking the truth. And he mentioned the narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if an individual, a scholar or a judge, if he seeks the truth and he makes a mistake, then he gets one reward. One reward for trying to seek the truth, trying to be diligent in seeking the truth. And if he makes a mistake, then he gets one reward. His reward for being diligent in seeking the truth. And if he's correct, then he gets two rewards. Then the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah ta'ala, the reason why these individuals we should be silent about that which took place of their disputes and disagreements is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described them as being the best of the people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of the people are my generation, or the generation that I was sent during their time. So these are the best of the people. The best of the people after the prophets and the messengers are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah ta'ala, that the companions and the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are better than the followers of Musa and the prophets who came before them. This was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he said what? He said the best of the people. So this shows you that the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are even better than the companions and the followers of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is mentioned in the hadith of Amran bin Hussein. This is mentioned of the hadith of Amran bin Hussein. And likewise is mentioned in the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. In the hadith of Amran bin Hussein, he narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best generation is the generation that, or the best of the people is the generation that I was mentioned in. And then those who came after me, then Amran bin Hussein said, I'm not sure, did he mention two or three generations? But in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, he said two generations. So the companions and those who came after the companions, they are the best of the people. So this informs you that these individuals, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they are the best of the people. Then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned that Ahlus Sunnah do not believe that any specific companion is free from fault, is free from major mistakes and minor mistakes. But it is possible that they have sins. In general, it is possible that they have sins. But because of their, because of them being in the forefront and merits and then coming to Islam, then they are forgiven from that which appeared from them of mistakes. And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, Na'am, this is the way of Ahlus Sunnah. We do not believe that any particular companion of the Prophet is totally free from faults. We do not believe in this. For example, you had the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, or the event that took place between Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and Umar ibn Khattab. That Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala, he approached the house of Umar ibn Khattab, and then he knocked twice, or he sought permission to enter three times. And when Umar ibn Khattab did not come to the door, he left. So later on, Umar ibn Khattab asked him, why did you leave? He said, because I sought permission to enter three times, you did not come, so I left. And this, I heard the Prophet ﷺ say this. So Umar ibn Khattab said, I want a witness. I want two witnesses to confirm that you heard it from, you heard the statement of the Prophet ﷺ. So later on, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, he informed Umar ibn Khattab, yes, I heard the Prophet ﷺ say the same narration. So this shows you that it's possible that an individual would make a mistake. Umar ibn Khattab, he did not feel that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was lying, but he wanted clarification and he wanted confirmation that this was actually said by the Prophet ﷺ. So this shows you that yes, it is possible that a companion can make a mistake similar to that which was mentioned in this hadith. But what's understood is that we do not, Ahlus Sunnah, they do not feel that any specific companion is free from fault. Because verily, the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, verily this is only for the prophets and the messengers. And the Shaykh mentioned that the prophets and the messengers are free from fault. And if one of them was to make a mistake, then immediately Allah would send the revelation to correct it. They would not make a mistake. But if one of them were to happen to make a mistake, Allah Azza wa Jal would immediately send the revelation to correct the mistake. So this is mentioned. Likewise, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they can fall into an error. They can fall into an error. But because of them coming into Islam and assisting Islam and fighting for Islam and the spread of Islam and the likes, they would be forgiven for their faults. And then the Shaykh said an important point, Habib Allah Ta'ala, but the companions would never have a consensus that is a mistake. The companions would never have a complete consensus that is a mistake. Na'am. And then the Prophet, and then the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, so because of the companions coming to Islam and because of them assisting the Prophet and spreading Islam, no one would be forgiven like the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he mentioned this is in the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if one of you were to spend the size of Afwan, if one of you were to spend, if one of you were to give charity the size of the mountain of Uhud, if one of you were to give charity the size of the mountain in Uhud, it could not compare to that which the companions gave a handful of charity. So this shows you the tremendous merits of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Would you not leave my companions?" Meaning, do not speak ill about the companions and the likes. So no one has the rights like the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned about their hasanats, about their good deeds. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, Naam, it is possible that an individual has bad deeds. It is possible that an individual has mistakes. But they do so much good deeds that it wipes away their bad deeds. So indeed, this would be the case for the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, indeed, if they had mistakes, they would have sought forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal for their mistakes. Now, so this is that which the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala mentioned about the companions of the Prophet. Likewise, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned about the Shafa'a, the intercession of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If there's going to be intercession for anyone, the individuals that would be more deserving of the intercession of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would be the companions, his companions. Likewise, an individual being tested. And if the companions, they were tested, and their trials and their tribulations is one of the reasons why they would be forgiven. And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, for example, it is possible that an individual is afflicted with a calamity, and that individual feels that this calamity is something bad, but in fact the calamity is something good. The calamity would lead, or would be a reason for Allah raising the level and the status of the individual in the hereafter. And likewise, the calamity can be a means of expiation of the sins of the individual. So if that is the case of a normal person, then what is the case of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Likewise, them fighting jihad in the way of Allah, fighting jihad alongside the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is something that would also get their sins forgiven. As it was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, verily in paradise there is 100 levels. Verily there is a special place in paradise, 100 levels. Between each level is like the distance between the heavens and the earth. This place in paradise is specifically for those who fight in the way of Allah. So this was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the tremendous place in paradise for those who fight in the way of Allah. And indeed, the first people to fight in the way of Allah were the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they were the individuals who assisted Islam. They were individuals who spread Islam. They were individuals who fought in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. So verily, this shows you their merits. Likewise, their migration. As Allah Subhanahu wa Taala mentioned in the Quran about the merits of the people who migrate. So the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were the first individuals to migrate in Islam. So verily they have the reward for their migration. Likewise, Bay'at al-Ridwan, the taking the oath during al-Ridwan. And it was 300 or more individuals that took an oath with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at this particular time. And Allah was pleased with them. So if Allah is pleased with him, with these individuals, he would never be upset with these individuals. And from those individuals that took the bay'ah of Ridwan was Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was amongst the individuals that took the bay'ah of Ridwan, Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And just as a side note, the Shaykh mentioned, and verily one of the individuals that the Shia speak most ill of is Uthman. So we find that Uthman was an individual that took the bay'ah of Ridwan, and Allah is pleased with those individuals. And even with that being the case, the Rawafid, they speak very ill about Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So the affair of the companions is something which was informed by way of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the most truthful from the creation. So they are the best of the people. Now, and verily they are the individuals who are the example and a model for us all. Then the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala. That was the explanation of the chapter. Then the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala. In closing, these days that we're living presently are very gloomy days. They are very gloomy days because of the trials and tribulations which are taking place in Sham, in Syria, and in Iraq. And verily, the Rawafid, they are individuals that are ruling in these particular areas, and they are killing the people of the Sunnah in these particular areas, and they are running them from their lands. And these individuals, the Shaykh mentioned that these individuals that are the Rawafid that are present in Iraq and Sham, these individuals are the followers of As-Safawiyyah. They are the followers of As-Safawiyyah, the group that he mentioned in the beginning of the lesson. And they are the followers of Shah Ismail. And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala that previously the rulers of Sham, they were followers of the Shafi'i madhab, but verily now the individuals that are ruling in that area are the Rawafid, and the Rawafid, this madhab or this methodology of al-Rafida has not spread in any particular time the way it spread during the time of or the rulership of As-Safawiyyah, who were the followers of Shah Ismail. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that this individual, Shah Ismail, he used to kill without worrying and without having any remorse. He used to kill individuals without having any remorse. And he was also an individual that felt that he could never be conquered. He felt that he could never be conquered. And then later on, they were conquered by the Turkish Empire. They were conquered by the Turkish Empire. So the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that the Rafida, presently, the Rafida, they are supporters of Bashar al-Assad. Bashar al-Assad. They are supporting him and they are fighting alongside him. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that is in Syria. But in Iraq, you had the leader or the president or the... the president al-Maliki. And then he was removed. But another Shia came in place of al-Maliki. And he is not exactly like him, but he is also Shia. And then the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, and likewise you have them fighting in Yemen, the Houthiyun after Al-Khomeini was removed, the Houthiyun, they also traveled to the area of Al-Khomeini, which is in Iran, and they benefited or they took upon the same methodology, and they're also fighting the Muslims, the people of Ahlul Sunnah in their land. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give the Muslims ease, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to assist the people of the Sunnah. That's the Shaykh's explanation of tonight's lesson. كل سأل ما هي شروط التوبة شروط التوبة عن من الكبائر
شروط التوبة أن يترك الإنسان المعصية التي يرتكب لا يعود لها أن يندم لأنه فعله أن يعزم ألا يعود مرة أخرى لابد من شروط ثلاثة بالنسبة للذنوب التي بين العبد وبين الله جل وعلا يترك الذنب المعصية يتأسف كيف ارتكبها يعزم ألا يرتكب فإن كانت متعلقة بآدمي يعطيه حقه كان جراحة يمكن خصمه من القصاص كان في مال يدفعون المال له يعني هالثلاثة ويعطي صاحب الحق حقه إذا كان في لإنسان نعم.
The individual is asking about the conditions for seeking forgiveness from major sins. The Shaykh mentioned Abu Allah Ta'ala. For one, the first condition is that you have to abandon the sin. The second condition is that you have to regret falling into the sin. The third condition is that the individual makes the firm intention never to return to the sin. It is mandatory that if an individual has fallen into a sin, which is between them and Allah, it is mandatory that the individual fulfills these three conditions. He abandons the sin, he regrets falling into the sin, he makes the firm intention never to return to the sin. And then there's a fourth condition, if it relates to the rights of another individual, and that is that the individual returns that right to the individual. For example, if it was wealth, they give the wealth back. If it is a sort of punishment, they allow that individual to seek their rights from them. This is the fourth condition.
يقول السائل معلوم أن تعريف الصحابي هو الذي لقي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وآمن به ومات على الإسلام فماذا يسمي الذي لقي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومات على الإسلام ولكن لم يؤمن إلا بعد موت الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم
الذي لم يسلم إلا بعد ما مات النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يسمى صحابيا وإنما هو مسلم وإذا لقي الصحابة يكون تابعي، وإنما الصحبة لمن شاهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مؤمنا ومات على ذلك.
The individual is asking, what is known is that the definition of a companion is an individual who met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and believed in him at that time and died upon Islam. An individual who met the Prophet, believed in him and died upon Islam. So what do so an individual who met the Prophet but did not believe in him at that time until after the death of the Prophet, what is this individual called? The Shaykh respond by saying, the individual who did not enter into Islam during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if he met the Prophet, but he did not enter into Islam during the lifetime of the Prophet, this individual is not called a companion. And the individual who met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam but did not believe in him during his lifetime until after the Prophet died and then believed in him, this individual is not called a companion. He's not called a sahabi. He's called a Muslim. And if he met a companion, then he's called a tabi'i. So companionship is only established when an individual met the Prophet and believed in him during his lifetime and then died upon Islam. يقول السائل هل يدافع عن من يقول أو يزعم أن عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه أحدث في الدين واستمد بعد النصيحة، وهل يحجر من يدافع عن من زعم أن عثمان أحدث خصوصا إذا هو متعصب؟
الذي يتنقص عثمان رضي الله عنه يعتبر ظالما من الظالمين، فعثمان أحد الخلفاء الراشد، أحد الخلفاء الراشدين الذين قال النبي عنهم صلوات الله وسلامه عليه: عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء المهديين من بعدي عضوا عليها بالنواجذ. النبي قال تكون يقال الخلافة بعدي 30 عاما. هذه 30 انتهت بعلي رضي الله عنه، والمدة التي مكثها الحسن قبل التنازل لمعاوية، هذه هي الخلافة. والنبي شاهد لعثمان بالجنة، فالذي يعرف أن النبي شهد له بالجنة ثم يريد أن يتنقصه ويتنقص النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The individual is asking, do you defend or should an individual defend another person who says that Uthman has invented in the religion and is persistent even after being advised? And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, the individual who speaks ill of Uthman, this individual is a deviant from amongst the deviants. And for verily Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is from the rightly guided khulafa, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, upon you is my sunnah and the sunnah of my rightly guided khulafa, hold on to it with your molar teeth. And likewise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the khulafa or the rulership after me is 30 years. And this ended after Ali ibn Abi Talib, along with the time of Al-Hasan, when Hasan gave the rulership to Muawiyah. After that, then this period of rulership ended. So, and likewise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed that Uthman is from the people of Jannah. So the individual who the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, so if an individual speaks ill of Uthman after knowing that the Prophet ﷺ praised Uthman and spoke and informed that he would enter Jannah, then verily this individual has spoken ill of the Prophet ﷺ. يقول السائل هناك نوع من القهوة مصنوع من حبات البني قد غسلت من فضلات القرد، فهل يجوز لنا أن نشرب من مثل هذه الأنواع من القهوة؟ هذا القهوة مصنوع من حبات البني غسلت من فضلات القرد،
أو شيء هذا شيء لا نعرف عنه شيء ولا أعتقد صحته، لأن القهوة إذا كان مقصود بالقهوة التي تتداول شجرتها أول ما انتشرت شجرتها في اليمن، ما ذهبت إلى هنا وهناك، وأصل استحداثها اقتدي بدابة تأكل من الشجر شجراء البن هذا يكون لها نشاط إلى آخره، أمور لا حاجة إليها. لكن هذا المذكور في السؤال لا أعرف من أين استقى هذه الدعوة التي يذكرها.
Individuals asking about there's a form of coffee which is made with coffee beans that have been cleaned with the excrement of monkeys or something like that. Is it permissible for us to drink such coffee? And the Sheikh mentioned Abi Valatala. I don't know this affair, and I believe that this may not be true. The origin of coffee by way of the coffee beans, this came from Yemen, and I don't know that coffee is manufactured in other places. And the origin is that they noticed that there was animals that were biting, or there were animals that were eating from the tree, and when they were eating the leaf, they noticed that they were active. So that's how they realized that, you know, this can be used for coffee. So the Sheikh said, I don't know which this claim came from. And so he mentioned, I don't know where this claim came from.
مأخوذة من استعمال الخمر في الجاهلية، فكان يسمي العرب تناول السكر قهوة، يقول شاعرهم ما زعتهم قضب الريحان متكئا وقهوة مزة رموقها خضلا، هذا الأعشى عشاء قيس من سكان جنوب مدينة الرياض الجاهلية، فسميت القهوة قهوة لأنها تشير إلى تبادل الكؤوس، كؤوس الشاربين، فمجرد هذه التسمية لا تجعلها محرمة، فقط أردتنا. وهي أيضا بدأت القهوة وجدت تقريبا في حدود القرن الثامن الهجري، قبل ذلك ما كانت تعرف هذه القهوة.
The Sheikh mentioned a side note about coffee. He mentioned that the name coffee was taken from the time of Jahiliyyah. It was taken from khamr, alcohol in Jahiliyyah. The Arab, they would describe, you know, the taking in of sugar, they would describe it as qahwa. And he mentioned lines of poetry that a poet in the days of Jahiliyyah, he mentioned something about good qahwa, meaning the alcohol. And this individual lived in the area around Riyadh. So the Sheikh mentioned Afif Allah Ta'ala, but the origin of it being taken from alcohol that was drunk in Jahiliyyah does not make drinking coffee haram. And in fact, the Sheikh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, from the history of coffee, is that it was first found and introduced in the eighth year of Hijrah. During the eighth year of Hijrah, and it wasn't present before that. This was just a side benefit. يقول السؤال ماذا تنصحوننا حول داعش وما هو موقف أهل السنة منهم؟
في الحقيقة ما يسمى بداعش لا أعرف بيقين شيئا عنهم حقيقة بشهادة الرجال الثقات الذين ينقلون الخبر، لكن ما يذكر عنهم في جرأتهم على القتل ولأدنى أي سبب، هذا لا يتفق مع الإسلام. الأسير إذا أسر في الإسلام لا يقتل، إما أن يفتدى ويدفع فلوس ويخرج، أو يسترق ويكون مملوك. ومن تصحت الأخبار أنهم جريئون بالقتل، هذا من جانب. من جانب آخر الواحد يشك أيضا في مصدر هذه الفئة والطائفة، ولهذا ما يستطيع الواحد يجزم بيقين عنهم. لكن مجرد خروجهم، هم ما ذهبوا يؤسسون دولة في العراق والشام، يريدون أن يلغوا حكم الرافضة مثلا أو حكم النصيرية، وإنما يزعمون أنهم خلافة. ومن القائم بهذه الخلافة؟ ومن الذي رشحه وشهد له من أهل العلم؟ يعني قصدي أن الأخبار عنها ما هي أخبار دقيقة، وفي الجملة جرأتهم على الدماء تدل على سوء أعمالهم.
Individuals asking about ISIS and what is the opinion of Ahl Sunnah with regards to ISIS. And the Sheikh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala. In reality, that which is called ISIS, I do not know the accurate truth about this particular group. Meaning, I do not know, I haven't been informed by individuals who are reliable about this particular group. But that which has been mentioned about their manner of killing is something which is not from Islam. The Sheikh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, because in Islam, when we have for example, a prisoner of war or a captive, one of two things take place. Either this individual is used for a ransom, or this individual is kept as a slave. But what is done by them is not from Islam. He said, so as for the news which is being mentioned about these individuals, this creates a doubt. This creates a doubt about the authenticity of the news. And so an individual does not have the ability to speak in detail about them. Then he mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, but the fact that they've come out and they did not go to Syria and Iraq to remove the Nusayriya, to remove the rulers there and the likes of that. They simply appeared in these countries and they claimed to have rulership. And who from amongst the reliable people has given them this authority? Who from amongst the people of knowledge has declared them to be correct? So, but in general, that which they do and their actions of killing and the likes of that, that shows the evil of this group. يقول السائل هل هناك أعمال أو أقوال في الدين تخرج الشخص من الدين بدون النظر إلى قصد القائل أو العامل وبدون سؤال عن لماذا قال أو لماذا فعل ذلك؟
كلمة الكفر إذا قالها الإنسان وليقولها يكفر مجرد ما يثبت أنه قالها، لا يقال له ماذا تقصد بهذه الكلمة. ومع ذلك لا يبادر الشخص يكفر حتى تقوم عليه الحجة، يثبت قيامه بأعمال تخرجه من الملة.
The individuals asking are there actions in the religion that if a person says these statements or actions, the individual leaves the religion. And the Sheikh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, the statement of kufr, if a person says a statement of disbelief, the mere statement of disbelief takes the person out of Islam. And it is not said to the individual, why did you say a statement of disbelief, or what is your intention behind the statement of disbelief.
لكن الجزء الثاني ما أدرت أنا لم أسمع الجزء الثاني من الجواب. يمكن تعيد الجواب.
كيف؟
يمكن تعيد الجواب.
فيما يتعلق بالتكفير، إذا سب الله جل وعلا أو أنكر رسالة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أو طعن بالقرآن نفسه، هذا يكفر، قال كافر. لكن لو تاب توبة صادقة، الله يقول وإني لغفار لمن تاب. والإنسان ينبغي أن يحرص على حفظ لسانه، لا يقول أنا ما قصدت أو قصدت، لأن المعاني تعرف بدلالة الألفاظ عليها.
The Sheikh mentioned, I sought clarity because I wasn't able to write down the rest of his answer. The Sheikh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, with regards to takfir, with regards to a person leaving the fold of Islam, if an individual speaks ill about Allah Azza wa Jal, or if an individual denies that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a prophet, or if an individual belittles the Quran, this individual has disbelieved. But if the individual the individual has disbelieved, and it shouldn't be said, or the individual should not say, oh, I didn't intend, or that wasn't my intention. That's not the case. The individual has disbelieved. But if the individual makes a sincere repentance, then Allah Azza wa Jalla forgives the individuals, as Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, and verily I am the all-forgiving for the individual who repents. So the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, so a person should be very diligent in protecting his son, protecting his tongue. A person should be very diligent in protecting his or her tongue. The individual should not say, I didn't intend, for verily your intention is known by that which has come off of your tongue. Your intention is known by that which came off of your tongue.
يقول السائل هل يجوز لي أن أسكن مع تكفيري وسبب ذلك أنه يعمل معي في نفس الشركة.
الإنسان ينبغي أن يحرص أن لا يسكن مع كافر. وكلمة تكفيري ما إذا كان يقصد تكفيري هؤلاء الذين يكفرون الناس، تأكد أولا هل هم يكفرون أحدا وهو ليس بكافر. يحتاج إلى أن يستكشف المرء، ينظر حقائق ما عنده. لكن ينبغي الإنسان أن يحرص أن لا يساكن إلا مؤمنا ما أمكنه ذلك.
The individual is asking, is it permissible for me to live with a takfiri? Because the individual works with me in the same company. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, that first he mentioned something, then he mentioned something else. He said, it's befitting for an individual to be diligent in making sure that he only lives with a believer. Then the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, with a believer, because from the word takfiri, it may be understood that you're talking about a disbeliever. Then he mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, the second aspect, and that is, if you're referring to a takfiri, meaning people who blatantly always call others disbelievers and take others out of the fold of Islam without proofs and the likes of that, the Shaykh said, first you should make sure that this is that they are doing so unjustly. You should make sure that they are doing so unjustly. Then the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, so a person should be diligent in making sure that he only lives with believers. يقول السائل هل الروافض كفار؟ ويقول هل العشائر من أهل السنة والجماعة؟ الأول والشط هل الروافض كفار؟ ثم هل العشائر من أهل السنة والجماعة؟
العشائر هم من عموم أهل السنة ويخالفون أهل التحقيق فيما يتعلق بالأسماء والصفات، لكن الرافضة الذين يعتقدون ما عليه الرافضة لا يكونوا مسلمين، لأن الشرك الأكبر دعاء غير الله مذهبهم مذهب الرافضة يدعون غير الله، لذلك يصرحون يا فاطمة يا حسين إلى غير ذلك. فينبغي المسلم أن يحرص على الاقتداء بما كان عليه الأئمة الأربعة أبو حنيفة مالك الشافعي أحمد، هؤلاء هم أئمة أهل السنة والجماعة. كون خرج من أتباعهم أبو الحسن الأشعري الذي تأثر بالجهمية والمعتزلة ثم انتشرت آراءه ورجع عنها قبل موته رحمة الله عليه، فيحرص الإنسان على أن يعرف معتقد أهل السنة والجماعة من أمثال عقيدة الطحاوي وهو من الأحناف، وما بين يدينا العقيدة الواسطية والحموية، هذه هي التي تدل على عقائد أهل السنة والجماعة.
Individuals asking, are the Rawafid, are they disbelievers? And are the Asha'ira, are they considered from Ahl al-Sunnah? The Sheikh Mukhtar Hafizahullah Ta'ala, in general, the Asha'ira, they are generally considered from Ahl al-Sunnah, but they oppose the people of the Sunnah when it comes to Asma wa Sifat, when it comes to the meaning of the Asma and the Sifat. As for the Rawafid, they are not believers, they are not Muslims, because they have fallen into major shirk. They call on other than Allah. They say, O Fatima, they say, O Hussein, and other than that from their actions. The Sheikh mentioned Abi Balatal, it's befitting for the Muslims to take as examples the four great Imams of Islam, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad. May Allah be pleased with all of them. You also have the fact that some of their followers, such as Abu Hassan al-Ashari, rahimahullah ta'ala, Abu Hassan al-Ashari, in the beginning, he was affected by the Jahmiyyah madhab as well as the Mu'tazila madhab, but then before his death, he returned to the madhab of Ahlu Sunnah. Then the Shaykh said, Habibullah ta'ala, it's befitting that the Muslim is diligent in knowing the aqeed of Ahlu Sunnah, so they should, for example, read the aqeedah of Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, who is a Hanafi follower, but his aqeedah was correct, and likewise the aqeedah, this aqeedah is al-wasitiyah, and likewise al-aqeedah is al-hamawiyah. These are, by reading these books, you will know the aqeedah of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Mr.
Remind the brothers to be clear in the Arabic writing. Some of the questions I can't read. كل السائل هل يجوز للمسلم أن يصاحب من يتهم عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه بالبدعة؟
لا يجوز ذلك، لأن هذا الجري الذي يتهم الصحابي الذي شهد له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه من أهل الجنة والذي لما بذل ما بذل رضي الله عنه قال ما على عثمان بعد اليوم، والذي في البيعة بيعت الرضوان قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هذه عن عثمان، هذا الذي يتجرأ يبدع عثمان يريد أن يحسن الظن به، هذا لا يحسن به الظن، إن كان جاهلا يفهم وإن كان متعلما فيتهم في علمه.
Is it permissible for, to befriend an individual who says that Uthman innovated in the religion? Is it permissible to befriend someone who said Uthman innovated in the religion? The Sheikh said it's not permissible. It's not permissible. The individual who has the courage to accuse the companions of the Prophet or this companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who the Prophet said about him he is from the people of Jannah. And likewise, when Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu did some righteous deeds, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There is no." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned about Uthman, "There is no fault upon Uthman after today. There is no fault upon Uthman after today." And likewise, during the oath of Ridwan, Uthman wasn't present, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the oath on his behalf. So all of this for Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So the individual who says that Uthman has invented something, but this individual still wants to be held in the lights, you know, in good lights with the people, then he is not held that way. If the individual is ignorant, then he should be taught. And if the individual claims to have knowledge, then his knowledge is doubted. يقول السائل أي فرقة خرجت أولا الشيعة أو الخوارج؟
أول فرقة خرجت عن ما عليه الصحابة الخوارج، بدأوا عندما صار التحكيم بين علي ومعاوية رضي الله عنهما، صار التحكيم قالوا كيف تحكم الرجال، فخرجوا على علي وعلى معاوية. والنبي ذكر عن هؤلاء أنهم يمرقون من الدين كما يمرق السهم من الرمية، يعني من الصيد الذي يوجه له السهم يضرب ويخرج منه كأنه ما أصاب. قال النبي تحقرون يحقر أحدكم صلاته عند صلاته وصيامه عند صيامه. لكن علي رضي الله عنه لما قيل لهم أكفار هم قال لا، من الكفر فروا، إخواننا بغوا علينا. الخوارج مبدأهم يشددون في الكذب، ما يخبرون، ويرون أن اللي يتعمد الكذب مخلد في النار، بينما الرافضة جريئون على الكذب. وللأسف أن الخوارج خرجوا من كانوا مع علي، والتشيع خرج أيضا من كان مع علي رضي الله عنه وأرضاه.
The individual is asking which group appeared first, the Shia or the Khawarij. The Sheikh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, the first group which opposed the way of the companions were the Khawarij. When Ali and Muawiyah had a dispute and they came together to rectify, they opposed both of them. The Khawarij, they went against the both of them. They went against Ali and they went against Muawiyah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned about the Khawarij, they would leave the religion like the leaving or like the piercing of the arrow towards the animal. Yani the arrow went into the animal and came out of the animal. As quick as the arrow left the game, the Khawarij would leave the religion. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentioned about the worship of the Khawarij. You would belittle your deeds compared to their deeds, meaning the Khawarij were very diligent in their acts of worship. But when Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu was questioned about the Khawarij, are they disbelievers? He said, no, they are not disbelievers. They have ran from disbelief. They are our brothers who have oppressed us or who have fought us. And the Shaykh mentioned with regards to the Khawarij, they're very careful and very diligent abstaining from lying. So much so that if a person lies, the Khawarij holds that individual to be in the hellfire forever. As for the Rawatib, for example, the Shia, they are very diligent in lying. So and the Shaykh also mentioned, as a side note, the Khawarij, they are a group that used to be from the followers of Ali. And likewise, the Shia are a group that used to be from the followers and the supporters of Ali ibn Abi Talib. يقول السائل يا شيخ حبيبك الله أختي ارتدت عن الإسلام قبل سنوات عديدة وقد نصحتها بأن ترجع إلى الإسلام ولكن بعد المناصحة غضبت علي وقالت دعني وحدي فكيف أتعامل معها وكيف تكون العلاقة وأهل يعني علاقتي وأهل وعلاقة أهلي معها وأطفالها.
لا شك أن الذي يرتد عن الإسلام إذا كان في دولة تقيم شعائر الإسلام وتعاقب بعقوبات الإسلام فقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من بدل دينه فاقتلوه، لكن لا يقتلها أحد يقول أنا أقتلها لأنها قريبة أو شيء من هذا. والنبي يقول أيضا لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم إلا بإحدى ثلاث: الثيب الزاني، والنفس بالنفس، والتارك لدينه. نصيحتي لمثل سؤال السائل أن يواصل دعوة قريبه الذي ترك الإسلام لعل الله يهديه ويسلم، وفيما يتعلق بالمقاطعة يهجر ويقاطع ما دام على هذا المنهج. ثم لو مات المرتد ما يورث، ما يرثه قريبه، أو لو مات قريبه ما يرثه ذلك المرتد، لأن لا توارث في أمر الدنيا بين مسلم وكافر.
The individual mentioned that my sister has left Islam years ago, and I advised her to return to Islam, but after my advice she became upset and she said, leave me alone. How do I deal with her and the relationship between her and my family and our children? The Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, there's no doubt that if an individual apostates from Islam and this individual lives in a country that implements the Islamic legislation, then it is upon that individual, the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, whoever changes their religion, then kill them. But it is not for anyone, the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, but it is not for anyone to go and say, she is my relative, so I'm going to kill her. That is not the duty of any individual. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ said that the blood of a Muslim is sacred, except if a person commits adultery if the individual commits adultery or an individual leaves the religion. So that which is upon that individual if they live in an Islamic state that implements the legislation is death. Then the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, but my advice is that you continue to call this individual, your relative, to Islam. It is possible that Allah Azza wa Jalla would guide this individual. As for cutting off the general relations, this you would do so, until this person, as long as this person is upon disbelief, you would cut off the general relations. And the Shaykh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala, likewise, from the rulings, is that this individual would not inherit from you, nor would you inherit from this individual, because there is no inheritance between a Muslim and a disbeliever.
أولا نحمد الله جل وعلا على ما منّ به من تجدد اللقاء. قد مضى قرابة 6 شهور أظن على افتراقنا، فنسأل الله جل وعلا أن يوفقنا جميعا لما يحبه سبحانه وتعالى ويرضى، وأن يصلح حالنا وحال بلادنا وحال المسلمين في كل مكان، وأن يعاجل بالفرج المظلومين من المسلمين في كل مكان، وأن يكشف عن البلاد الإسلامية المحن والفتن والبلاء والحروب، وأن يعاجل أهل الشام بالتخلص من الحكومة النصيرية، كما نسأل جل وعلا أن يعوض العراق بحكومة سنية، وأن يخفينا شر الرافضة، ولا يدفع الله عنا الشرور إلا إذا أخلصنا له في العمل بصدق، لأن الله جل وعلا يدافع عن الذين آمنوا، لكن إذا كثر الشر وانتشر البلاء تنزل العقوبات، كما أسأله سبحانه وتعالى بأسمائه وصفاته أن يوفق البلاد الإسلامية في كل مكان لتحكيم الكتاب والسنة ونشر العقيدة الصحيحة الصافية السليمة، وأن يهيأ لهم من أمرهم فرجا، إنه سبحانه مجيب الدعاء. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
الشيخ حبيب الله تعالى concluded the lesson by praising Allah upon that which Allah has allowed us in coming together after we had been separated for about 6 months. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to correct our affairs and the affairs of the Muslims in all parts of the world. We ask Allah to give quick ease to the Muslims who are being trialed and tested around the world, the people of the Sunnah. And we ask Allah to give them ease. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to return the rulers of Iraq back to the way of the people of the Sunnah, and to protect us from the evil of the Rawafid. For verily Allah Azza wa Jal would not remove this calamity that has befallen us except that we are sincere in our intention. For verily Allah Azza wa Jal, He defends the people who believe. But if the people are upon evil, then indeed the calamities would befall the people. So we ask Allah to give the people of Islam and the people, the Muslims of all parts of the world, we ask Allah to give them the tawfiq to implement Tawheed and the Sunnah and the correct Aqeedah, which is pure. And verily, Allah is the one to answer the supplication. And may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. And our last supplication is, all praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds.